Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
It's so confusing because the world calls what we're doing right now the Christmas season. But if you're Catholic, this is not the Christmas season. This is the Advent season. And then you have this other complication on top of that, that many people don't know, what am I supposed to do in Advent? We know what we're supposed to do in Lent, right? We're supposed to, you know, give something up and penance. And we know what we're supposed to do in Easter season, but Advent is a bit of a confusing one. But at the heart of all of them is the person of Jesus Christ. And so knowing about his Advent will help us understand what we are about in this season of Advent. If you have questions about Advent, if you have questions about Christ coming into the world, 888-318-7884 is our number, and we'd be very happy to take your call, whether you're Christian or not, 888-318-7884. Our guest to help us tackle the Advent of Christ, Dr. Edward Sree. He's a theologian, author, well-known Catholic speaker. He's written several best-selling books, including a biblical walk through the Mass, Walking with Mary, and Who Am I to Judge? Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. His latest release, I think this is the latest, is Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple. Dr. Sree, you is someone you also know from Symbolon. You know him as one of the founding members, leaders of Focus, along with Curtis Martin. There's just probably too much to say. Dr. Edward Sree, welcome.
Thanks again for having me.
Now, am I right that Into His Likeness is your most recent book?
No, actually, I've had a couple. I've had a couple since then.
Oh my gosh, you're like the Trent Horn of the Augustine Institute.
My newest book actually is it's called God with Us: Encountering Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. So it's a walk through Matthew's Gospel, really opening it up, making it really practical for people's lives as we get ready for this new liturgical year, where the church is focusing on the Sunday readings, all on the Gospel of Matthew. So that's what that book is. That's my newest one; just came out about a month ago.
Oh, well, congratulations. What a great idea, too. All right, I'm getting that book. Because Matthew is one of my top four Gospels. I don't often tell people that. I don't like to rate them, but it's one of my top four Gospels. Let me ask you this about Advent and the coming of the Christ. Why do we seem to start with reflections that have to do with death and the end of the world?
You mean like leading up to it, like in the week leading up to all all the readings? Well, you know, that's really the end of the liturgical year. So we're at the beginning of the liturgical year. So if you want to, you can actually say Happy New Year, you know, yesterday with the first Sunday of Advent, the start of the liturgical year. And the liturgical year always ends with, you know, Christ the King on Sunday and then the following weekdays. But it's really all about kind of bringing the whole year to its climax. And so why you often have these readings about God coming in judgment, the end of the world, all that, or martyrdom, like in the book of Maccabees, or the persecutions of people in the book of Daniel. So you hear all these like really intense stories, and it's really kind of like the idea is the whole liturgy is reaching its climax. We're remembering the Christ the King who's going to come. Jesus is going to come at the end of time, at the second coming, where he comes in judgment. And so that's why those readings feature prominently in the week or two leading up to and after Christ the King.
So why do we use a word like Advent for his coming and for this season? I mean, Advent rather than even, I mean, I don't know, what other person would you use the word, you know, the Advent of Caesar or something? You wouldn't, you know, so why, what does that word have to do with his, whatever is unique about Jesus?
Yeah, so the word Advent, as you mentioned, means the coming. And so we are remembering here in the coming of the one person who's at the very center of human history, and that's Jesus Christ. And we have these weeks where we're preparing ourselves for his coming again at Christmas. Now, how does Jesus come again? So he came 2,000 years ago,
right,
took on human flesh and walked among us. But there are unique graces that come in the various seasons of the year. And so we are using these 4 weeks of intense preparation to get ready to welcome Jesus into our hearts by grace at Christmas. And so if we really want to have a grace-filled Christmas, a Christmas that's going to be a blessing to our lives, a Christmas that's going to enrich us and help us take those next steps spiritually, we grow as disciples, then we want to have a really good Advent. And I always like to make the point that, you know, every Advent, every Christmas, Jesus has something special in store for you this year. He wants to encourage you in a particular way this year, or maybe he wants to challenge you in a particular way or comfort you in some way. But he wants to offer you special graces this year in Advent and Christmas that's different than what he did last year and maybe different than what he's going to offer you next year. He knows where you are right now. The question is, will you use the Advent season, really entering into this, to prepare your heart for those graces so that you can grow in deeper love with him and grow in deeper friendship with him?
And okay, so I guess the question then is, how do I cooperate with that? As with everything with Jesus, I mean, whatever what he's doing is for our good. So how do I cooperate with that?
Yeah, maybe one thing to think about is, okay, what's the color that features prominently here in the Advent season? So it's purple, right? So you see the purple candles, you got the purple on the altar, purple vestments.
You answered that so quick, like you thought I wouldn't know it. I could have said it. I feel like you were protecting me, and I knew it was purple.
But okay, I'll give you a chance now to speak.
Oh,
what is the other season we see purple feature prominently?
That would be Lent.
Yes, good answer. 100 points, okay. But the point is that this color purple liturgically is a color of penance. And that's something that people don't think about in these months or these weeks of Advent. You know, people are celebrating Christmas, right? Walmart's been celebrating Christmas since after Labor Day, I think, you know, so, and certainly now after Black Friday and everything, you hear all the Christmas music, everyone's celebrating Christmas, but it's really not. You know, this is the time of preparation. This is not the time to be singing joy to the world. You know, we don't think Jesus Christ has risen today, you know, during Lent. You know, no, during Lent, you're preparing for the death and resurrection of Christ. And similarly, during Advent, we want to be doing something to prepare. So purple reminds us that one way we can say yes to the season, enter into the season, is to do some kind of little sacrifice. Now, maybe it's not as intense as in Lent. It is much more of a joyful season than Lent is, but yet the church still calls us to make sacrifices. I don't know if you knew this, but Lent or Advent originally used to be 40 days in the early church. So just like there was a 40-day period of penance for Lent, there was a 40 days of fasting for Advent. And it used to be you would fast, like you do on Good Friday. You would fast every Monday, Wednesday, Friday during Advent. Could you imagine trying to pull that off today? But the church does say we should do some kind of little fasting or some little sacrifice. Maybe you give up your favorite show, you give up your favorite drink, a favorite food, a favorite sweet. You do some act of service, something that just is preparing your heart, like saying no to something to prepare your heart to welcome Jesus more in your life. And so I think the color purple is a great thing to remind us of, this is a penitential season, and many Catholics aren't even aware of that. Give up something for Advent? I didn't know you're supposed to do that. But yes, you are. You're supposed to make some kind of sacrifice in this season. Maybe one other thing I would say, Si, is that I was reading recently, one of my favorite liturgical theologians made this beautiful point about Advent. He says, you know, we just finished the liturgical year, and we could look back at the last year, and we could see, you know, there's ways we've maybe grown in our faith, but maybe there's ways we didn't say yes to Jesus as much as we should have. Maybe there's times we've fallen into sin, and we weren't as devoted, and we didn't let Christ in as much. And this writer was saying, you know what, Advent is a time for a fresh start. That now Jesus is coming anew. He's coming to knock on the door of our hearts this season, in these 4 weeks. And he's going to forget all the past slights, the past mistakes, the past times where we didn't let him in as much. But he's knocking right now, and he's asking you, will you let him in now as we're preparing for Christmas? So I love that. It's like a whole fresh start. It's a brand new liturgical year. Jesus is knocking anew. This is a chance for us to show our devotion to Jesus, to answer the door and let him into our hearts a little more, make a little sacrifice, have a little extra time for prayer. These little things we do is going to bear so much fruit spiritually in our lives. so that we can be present to the graces, those unique gifts Jesus wants to offer us this Christmas.
888-318-7884. We're talking Advent, the Advent of Christ, with Dr. Edward Sree. 888-318-7884. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with your calls and more from Dr. Sree right after this.
We're ready and waiting for your call today on Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
A 12th century cathedral in southwestern France robbed of chalices and other religious items after a gang rammed open the door of the church yesterday morning.
Pope Francis says the faithful can build bridges instead of aggression by asking for help from the Holy Spirit.
Senior Vatican sources tell the Catholic news agency that a controversial Vatican investment in a London property development was financed with borrowed money, not with Vatican funds.
News headlines you can have faith in. Weekdays at the top of the hour on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Edward Sree, our guest. We are talking about Advent. 888-318-7884. I would assume, Dr. Sree, that your take on just the way Jesus governs things, that if you get halfway through Advent and you realize, oh, I forgot that this is a liturgical season as well, that it's okay, just get started and that's fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jesus is going to meet us wherever we are. So right now you may be thinking, oh, I already missed the first 2 days of Advent. That's okay. Right now you can take time today and think through what little sacrifice do I want to make in this Advent season, and how can I do some of the traditional Advent customs and some of the traditional Advent practices? How can I bring it in my home and share it with my children? You know, maybe you haven't thought about that yet. That's totally fine. You've got 3.5 weeks of Advent left that Jesus is waiting for you, and you can certainly use that time well.
Sometimes I get to the end of the Advent season, and then in various situations, you're not going to see anybody. You know, you see someone, you're not going to see them again until the new year or something. And they say Merry Christmas to you, and then there seems to be this increasing kind of sensitivity about that people really want to keep a Catholic Advent and not say Merry Christmas yet. I kind of have mixed feelings about that. Have you run into that at all?
Well, I don't know if I've run into it, but I would say, you know, like what you just said, you may not see someone again. I hope you have a happy Christmas, a Merry Christmas, go for it. I mean, that's just kindness, and you really wish that, right? That's, you know, if I saw someone 2 weeks before Easter and said, oh, I hope you have a good Easter, that's not like, ooh, you know, we don't want the Lent and Advent police out there squashing everything, you know, like in an intense way. But at the same time, let's do remember, we do want the Advent season to really shine, and it is not time to be celebrating Christmas yet. To wish someone well for the future down the road on December 25th in that season, of course, that's a great thing. But this is a time, I mean, and there's so many rich traditions and customs that we could live out in our own personal lives or in our communities, but especially in our families, that most people don't even know about. That, like, you know, they they're so beautiful if we can bring this in and really live Advent and true Catholic culture in our homes is a wonderful thing.
888-318-7884, the number. I also feel sometimes that this time of year can be overwhelming to some people, especially maybe young parents with young children or seniors who have, you know, there's just so much. And I think sometimes people feel like, oh, look, the Advent wreath would be just another, it's too much for me. I don't know how you would respond to that kind of thing, but it's kind of an overwhelming time of year. And it's hard for people to make a real kind of spiritual observance of the time.
Absolutely. No, I mean, December is just hard. It's so crazy, right? The stress, the shopping, the shipping, the packing, the traveling, the wrapping, the cleaning, the cooking, the baking. I mean, you just list that and, you know, many people out there are like overwhelmed just hearing that list, right? And then you've got all the pressure and the family expectations. You know, and so it's hard to really enter into the season. But, you know, I would say one thing that is a great thing to do, and I is if you can carve out time in the midst of the chaos for just a little extra prayer in this season. You know, here's an analogy I use. I know you were just recently in Rome, and this is a funny story, but I did my doctorate in Rome, and when I was there for my doctoral studies, one of my favorite places to go pray or to go study, and when I would prepare for my exams, it was just surprised. It wasn't the library, it wasn't the Sistine Chapel, it was the Trevi Fountain.
Really?
If you've been to the Trevi Fountain, it's chaos, right? Thousands of people pouring in, and noise, and taking pictures, and shoving, and pickpocketers, and throwing your coin, and there's just so much noise around. But what I would do, I would go there, and I would find a little corner, I just close my eyes and just kind of close out. And that water and the talking of everyone just kind of was like white noise in the background. And I remember just like having a little, you know, a few moments of just talking to Jesus, or I remember studying on papal infallibility or sacramental theology. And I could just like do it. And I use that as an image here, that December is crazy. And, you know, it's going to be stressful. You're not going to live your spiritual life perfectly. But could you just find a little corner each day in your life? Maybe it's like you just try to make a commitment. It's the first thing you do. You just spend, you know, maybe 10 minutes in prayer every day. Just something, you carve out a little bit of time to just be with Jesus in the midst of the chaos going around. I can't think of a greater act of love to show Jesus your love for him, more than the wreath, more than, you know, all the other things you could do in the Advent season. But if you just carve out some time and be committed, Jesus, I'm going to talk to you no matter how busy it gets, and no matter how I'm going to make this time for you. The angels rejoice. Jesus can't help but respond with great love when he sees us make that kind of commitment. I think that's one thing that can help maintain your peace in the midst of a very busy, stressful season.
In a certain way, you're kind of almost using the madness of the season to your advantage, in a sense, because all you need to do, it gives you an opportunity for quiet. That even if you were in a quiet place, you wouldn't have. You have to kind of cultivate the quiet in the midst of all that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the experience I've had. And whether it's been like at the Trevi Fountain or at a papal audience in Rome, or I'm at some other big stadium, or just something where there's lots of chaos going around me, and I just need to take time to pray, I find myself a little more intentional, a little more focused than when I just go into the Adoration Chapel sometimes when, I got my nice quiet prayer time, and my mind's wandering a little bit more. It's because I have to be intentional. Think of these 4 weeks of Advent. You know it, right? You have to be intentional to really maintain that interior life during this busy month of December.
Dr. Edward Sree is our guest. Your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884. Again, I want to say, if you are not a Christian person, if this is not a thing that's familiar to you, this whole Advent thing, you're welcome to call with your questions as well. We're happy to have you. 888-318-7884. We go now to Lisa in Toronto, Canada, watching on YouTube Live. Lisa, your question for Dr. Edward Sree.
Dr. Sree, I just wanted to thank you guys very much. I love the show. And my question is, my husband and I are new to like bringing the Catholic or the Advent wreath out and stuff. And I'm wondering if you can talk about the tradition behind that and some nice prayers that we can pray when lighting the candles.
Yes. So let's talk about that for a little bit here. So first of all, why are there four candles with the Advent wreath? Well, because there's 4 weeks of Advent. But why four? I mean, I think that's just a fascinating question. Four is not a traditional biblical strong number, right? You would think of 3 or 40 or 12 or 7. But why four? And there's a beautiful answer to this, that the 4 weeks of Advent recall the 4,000 years in the Bible of biblical salvation history, of humanity and the nation of Israel longing for the coming of the Messiah. And so what we're doing is, as we walk through the 4 weeks of Advent, is we're entering into that yearning of humanity for its Savior. We're entering into that. And I like to think of it as, if we light each candle, it's as if we're kind of like walking through salvation history. In fact, this is a great time with children, especially, to tell Bible stories. You should tell Bible stories all throughout the year. But if there's ever a time to really walk through some of the big stories of the Bible, and you could do it at a very, like, I'm doing it with my five-year-old right now and my 3.5-year-old, you know. But little simple children's Bible stories is great. You know, it's because you're remembering that story of Adam and Noah and the flood and Moses and the Exodus and David and the kingdom, and it's all anticipating the coming of Jesus. And so I like to think of, as we go around the four candles, it's as if you're walking through that story from Adam to Noah to Abraham, all the way through the various covenants of salvation history for the coming of Jesus. So that's one thing to keep in mind with the Advent wreath. And I love, this is a great thing to do with kids. I mean, my kids just are so excited. The Advent wreath is out, and you get to light a candle, and then the next week we get to light another one. What we're doing when we do that every night is we're just saying, this week is different. This is different than what we did earlier in November and October and September and what we're going to do in January and February. No, this is different. We're setting this time apart. And so that's another beautiful thing about it. You can go online, and I just recommend, just go look up Advent prayers or go look up blessing of an Advent wreath. You can actually do a little in your own home. You could bless your own Advent wreath. You could do little prayers at night, and they're just simple little things, really easy, like short and simple for little kids is great. But what you're doing is bringing in that Catholic culture of Advent and setting this time apart as sacred time. This is different. And that's a wonderful thing to do for our families.
Lisa, how does all that strike you?
That's excellent. Have a blessed Advent, both of you. Thank you.
Lisa, you're so nice. Thank you very, very much. That's very kind of you. Let's go to, and then I don't have calls available at the moment. 888-318-7884. I push the wrong button sometimes. Dr. Sri, sorry, I took a little brain vacation there for a minute. I apologize, but, you know, I've been away. When you talk about setting this time aside as different, there's a way in which, I suppose, what you said about kind of that silent, giving that silent time to Jesus, there's a way in which the world absolutely everywhere seems now to be celebrating this as Christmas, that there's something distinctive about Advent as opposed to Christmas. Have you heard of the traditions where people, for example, Catholics will use different lights out in front of their house in Advent than they will in the Christmas season? So it just gives a slightly distinctive view. And maybe even someone might ask, why do you do that? And are you familiar with any of these?
Yeah, absolutely. I wish that if people just saw our lives, if we were truly Catholics living the Advent season, when people saw us in the month of December, here's a good question to ask yourself if you're really living Advent well. When people see you in Advent, do they say, oh, you must be Catholic? Or, wait, why? You're different. There's something different about you.
Right.
In other words, you're not just going along with the rest of what the culture is doing. It's a very countercultural thing. You know, I think about my my little 3.5-year-old last week. We had a big snowstorm come into Denver, like over like 14 inches of snow. And my daughter was out, she was out the window looking and all fascinated with all the snow. And she sees all the snow coming down, and she looks at me with big eyes and says, Dad, is it Christmas yet? And she's so excited because she saw snow. And then her older sister, who was away at college, came back for Thanksgiving. And she says, Dad, Madeline's home now. Is it Christmas yet? And I love that excitement about the coming of Christmas. And that's what we're supposed to really be entering into. Not that it's Christmas already. No, that there's this anticipation, this excitement moving toward it. And it's a time of preparation. So you mentioned, Sai, you know, the four candles in the window, different than just putting your standard. You can maybe put all the Kroger Christmas lights out later, you know, but maybe you just have four candles. That's one way to try to do it. And again, I don't want to be Nazi about these things, but I do think we as faithful Catholics need to be thinking through, how can I live December as a Catholic, as Advent, and not as what the rest of our secular commercialized culture is trying to feed us. So there's many different ways, and every family will do it differently. But if we're all at least thinking about that we're trying to really live this season, I think that's going to be so good for our own souls, our own homes, and building Catholic culture.
It seems like when we with some of the reforms and the changes, like when you were talking, I was thinking about the Catholics. It used to be, no Catholic was eating meat on Friday. And you can see all accepting whatever the rationale is for why that is no longer a shared discipline of the church and all that. It's still, you can see there's a loss there in witness, in that, oh, people had, this was something that was public in a way. You know, you had to share with people at work, oh, I'm not having, no, I can't have that. I'm not having meat today or something like that. And we were all doing it. And I wonder if there, we could get back to more of those for Advent as well as for other parts of the year.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the church still requires us to do some kind of sacrifice on Friday. And there is the strong tradition of not eating meat, which is a great thing. You know, so that's one way, you know, but the church was trying to be more flexible. Say, hey, you can do other kinds of sacrifices if you don't want to do the not giving up of meat. But the thing, just the fact that if you were out with your friends at the office party and you didn't eat sweets and they asked you why, you said, oh, I'm giving up something for Advent. That'll look, what a witness already. I mean, you're just,
yes.
Who does that? You know?
Right.
So I think that's another great thing that we can all try to do.
I'm giving up sweets at the most sweet intensive moment of the year is what you would be saying, essentially.
If you want to give up sweets. I mean, again, everyone should give up something, but you could all choose what you want.
Up next, anonymous caller. So anonymous, are you there with us?
Hey, I just want to know why do you celebrate Christmas? Because knowing the scripture says to celebrate Christ's birth, okay, that's a great occasion, but Noah said to celebrate his birth and like, with such traditions, and I mean, he was born in mid to end of September in the Feast of Tabernacles. So, what is your idea? Because one more point is from Zechariah and Luke chapter 1-2. He did his priestly service in the order of Abijah. So that with that calculation, it totally proved that he's born in end of September. So that's
anonymous, it's a great question. So why do Christians celebrate Christmas? That's a very good question. I'm sorry that I left you go right up to the break. So if you could please hold on, Dr. Sri will crack the books and figure out why. Or maybe he already knows the answer. I don't know. But anyways, we'll come back and get an answer from Dr. Edward Sri right after that. We're talking about Advent. If you got questions about Advent, 888-318-7884.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on More to Life, Trash Talk.
Words really do hurt. We'll help you deal with the negative, critical people in your life.
And now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Edward Sri, our guest. We're talking about Advent. all of which centers around Christ and preparation for Christ's coming in our lives at the end of time and remembrance of his coming into this world and his incarnation. And so we have an anonymous caller who says, well, why do you bother with Christmas at all? Why are you doing that? I didn't have time to let you answer before we went to the break. So why are we doing this Christmas thing? It doesn't say in the Bible, celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, and it doesn't say he was born on a particular date, you know, so this is something the early church came to at all. But I think the bigger question is, yeah, why would we celebrate Christ's birth at all? You know, shouldn't we just every day celebrate the birth? You know, the analogy I would use is I think it's important to have a particular day to remember the different mysteries of Jesus' life. Because Christ's whole life, I should have on my heart and on my lips and on my soul. I mean, I want to be constantly reflecting on Jesus' life. He's our Savior. And so it's beautiful that the whole mystery of Jesus is so hard to take in all at once. And what the church does wisely and what Christianity has done for, you know, almost 2,000 years has really broken up the mysteries into different parts, that you reflect on different aspects of Christ's life throughout the whole liturgical year. So we remember on March 25th, for example, the incarnation, Jesus being conceived in Mary's womb. He took on human flesh. We think about that moment when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as St. John says in his prologue, chapter 1 of his Gospel. You know, we think about his birth at Christmas. We think about the flight to Egypt and the Magi coming. We think about the baptism of Jesus. We think about his public ministry throughout the year. We think about different key moments like the Transfiguration, or we think about his passion and death, especially in Holy Week, and his resurrection and his sending of the Spirit. And, you know, so, I mean, we're taking the whole, like, this massive, infinite mystery of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we're trying to put into the bite-sized pieces to give special attention to think about each one of these aspects at different moments throughout the year. So should we be thinking about Jesus' birth and be grateful for his birth every day of the year? Of course. But just like in my own marriage, should I be thankful for my marriage every day? Should I tell my wife I love her every day? Of course. But we have a special day called our anniversary that we set aside to give special attention to our marriage. Same thing with our kids. We remember their birthday or their baptism day, right? And should we be thankful for those two amazing events in their lives, their natural birth and their spiritual birth? We should always be thankful for that and celebrate that and praise God for that. But we have a special day that's singled out to give particular attention to it. So it's always staying in the forefront of our mind. So I think the church wisely takes these various mysteries of Christ's life, puts them into bite-sized pieces for us throughout the year. And then every year we keep thinking about them over and over and over again.
Anonymous, thank you very, very much. I hope that was helpful to you. I do have all my lines full, so I'm going to keep going with questions. Tom in Buffalo, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross. You are up next, Tom. Your question for Dr. Edward Shree.
Dr. Shree, I would like to ask you about the change from early Advent to late Advent that we find in the Roman Missal on the 16th or 17th of December. And is it that the time when we really shift from emphasis on recognizing the beginning of the new cycle, looking forward to the second coming of Jesus, and then we start talking more specifically about the preparation for the first coming of Jesus at Christmas?
I think you're thinking about, we should be thinking about the different aspects of Christ coming throughout the whole season of Advent. So I think that's present all throughout. Now you're going to see in some of the readings a little bit more about, like, maybe his coming at the end of time toward the beginning of Advent. You know, you're going to see, you know, when you get to Gaudete Sunday, a little more of the joy, right? The rejoicing in the Messiah is almost here, the fulfillment of all the prophecies. You mentioned December 17th is what I think what you mean, and that's the beginning of what the church calls the O Antiphons, these various titles of Jesus found in Old Testament prophecies that we celebrate. Each day has its own certain kind of title that we reflect on, and we're getting even closer now to the coming of Christ. So there are different kind of like shifts, as you see, of emphasis as you move throughout, but I don't think the church would say you ever forget the other aspects at different points of the Advent season. But very good to point out that there is a definite mood shift as you get closer and closer to Christmas.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Edward Shree, our guest. We take our topic from the title of his book, The Advent of the Christ, this hour. And up next, we have, let's I believe it's Christopher in Miami, Florida, listening in on the TuneIn app. Christopher, your question for Dr. Edward Sri.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to.
So I was born a Catholic, but unfortunately I wasn't involved in the faith really a lot at all growing up. I only recently started coming back into the faith, and I just heard of the word Advent a couple weeks ago. And I'm trying to get more back into the faith, and I'm not sure what I should be doing. I don't own a candle. I don't own a balloon. I don't own anything. I don't know what I need to be doing during Advent.
Oh, Christopher, thank you for your question and just your desire to want to live Advent. This is awesome. Let me just say a couple of things. Like at the most basic level, don't worry about it. It'd be great if you get an Advent wreath, but like that's not the heart of it. The heart of Advent, and I don't know if you were listening at the beginning of the show, is if you could make some kind of little sacrifice like you might do in Lent, but maybe smaller. I mean, it doesn't have to be as intense, but where you give up something. I think that's a great Advent practice. I would add on a second thing that you can do in the Advent season is in addition to, you know, making giving up something, a tiny little sacrifice in these 4 weeks, is also maybe a gift. You do some kind of act of devotion to Jesus. You do something extra. Maybe it's you just say, I'm going to read the Bible for 5 minutes every day, or I'm going to read this spiritual book every day, just like maybe just a paragraph. I find a little, you can go online and find lots of little devotional books about Advent. I have one on Advent season, Daily Meditations, but there's many others. Bishop Barron has one. You could go find many, many works on this. That could be like so you're doing something of an extra devotion. I think those two things are at the center of what we need to be doing. So if you can make a little sacrifice, if you can do some extra prayer, devotion, service, in the Advent season, that's the heart of Advent. Now, there's other things. You've heard about Advent wreaths, and you may hear about Jesse trees. You may hear about other things, and those are great to supplement and support, you know, and don't feel any pressure that you have to do that in your first really living out of Advent this year. But, you know, down the road, if you want to get online, you can just go order an Advent wreath. You can go online, read about it. I just did a whole podcast about different Advent practices and that you can live out as an individual or with a family. And so, but I think at the heart of it, if you can just offer a sacrifice and do some extra devotion, spiritual devotion this Advent season, the Lord is going to be so thankful, and you're going to be very blessed by entering into it. But again, feel free to go online and look at other things like the Advent wreath, the Jesse tree, other devotions that you can do during that are particular to Advent as well.
Thank you very much for both your help.
Thank you, Christopher. It's just exciting to get to talk with you. Thank you very much, and God bless you as you kind of reacquaint yourself with the faith, and maybe in some cases acquaint yourself with some of the beauties of the faith that that you haven't been aware of before. Please call us anytime. We're especially on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's open forum, so any question at all is welcome on those days. And I hope we'll get to speak to you again, Christopher. We have to take a quick break. Dr. Edward Sri is our guest. Our topic: the Advent of Christ. It's also the title of one of Dr. Sri's books. Be right back with more of that conversation and your calls at 888-318-7884 right after this.
We're here for you. Give us a call today on Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics: pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I don't think we've ever done anything like this before, but I have the note for it in my hot little hand. 2-hour flash sale starts right now. I guess that's what you do on Cyber Monday. You have a flash sale. So go. It's still 7 p.m. Pacific time. So if you're on the East Coast, that's till 10 p.m. Tonight. And I won't try to do all the other time, time zones. Our two best-selling bulk books, Why We're Catholic and The Bible is a Catholic Book, free media mail shipping on bulk cases within the continental U.S. Go right now to Catholic.com to our bulk book categories. This is a very limited time offer. Yeah, if it's over at 7 p.m. tonight. And part of the motivation there, these are two books that we try to get out in bulk. They're just $3 a copy, and you're going to get free shipping wherever you are in the continental U.S. for the next 2 hours. And the reason we want them to get out in bulk is people come back to Mass around this time. And maybe you'd be willing to ask your pastor, hey, could I give these out at Christmas, on Christmas Day or something, so that people leave with something in their hands. Why We're Catholic, one of them, and The Bible is a Catholic Book, the other, both available for the next 2 hours, not only at their bulk prices, but also free shipping anywhere in the continental U.S. 888-318-7884 is our number. Our guest is Dr. Edward Sree. We're talking about the Advent of Christ, which just so happens to be the title of one of Dr. Sree's books. Scott in Cleveland, Ohio is next. Scott, your question for Dr. Sree.
Yes. Yes. Good evening.
Good evening.
I wanted to first off say thank you so much for having me on the show. Dr. Sree, you've been a longtime follower of yours. You've got incredible material out there, and I'm a part of two groups. One is a couples group with my wife, and then the other is a group of men, and it's been going on for about 8 years now, and I kind of like shook my head when you said we should be treating Advent similar to Lent, and I totally get into it. I love it. I love the idea. Is there something on formed, or is there something that I can pull up electronically to help guide my men's group? To bring awareness outside of, you know, our daily meetings and so forth.
Yeah, and first of all, nice shout out to Formed. I'm glad that you mentioned that.
That's a great resource.
Yeah. What do you got for them?
Yeah, I know there's a couple little studies about Advent on Formed that people could turn to. So that would be an excellent resource to, you know, if they were looking to like, oh, hey, maybe we can watch this video about Advent. You know, that could be helpful. I can tell. I mentioned it earlier. I just did on my own podcast. It's called All Things Catholic with Edward Sree. You can just look up my name. Although, if you only put Sri, my last name, you won't find me. You'll find an Indian Hindu guru, and that's not me. You have to put Edward Sri. But I just
that's not
did,
you anymore.
I just did a podcast last week about the meaning of Advent, and my one coming out tomorrow, Tuesday. Is all on Advent practices that you can live out throughout the season. So last week and this week is all about that. You can find that there. I bet if you just went online as well, you could find a number of things about the season. But I would say it's not a popular topic to emphasize the idea of the sacrifice. I don't hear as many people bring that out. It's very clear in the, you know, liturgical tradition, in the theological tradition of our church, you know, and as I mentioned, you see it in the color purple right there, you know, so there is something penitential. It's not as intense as Lent. There's a joyful, you know, anticipation of Christ coming here, but there is still a part, you know, of trying to prepare our hearts for Christ. You know, one of the things, I'll give a little example here, maybe in this, and we can apply it in an adult world, but one of the things we do in our home occasionally for Advent, we just did it this, we just started it yesterday, is we have an empty manger that we set out and we put it on, you know, this little mantle area. And then the kids can go grab a little straw, and we have a little straw, like a bowl of straw next to it. And when they make a little sacrifice, like they go and they help their mom and volunteer, or they give up something, like a given to one of their siblings, they can go get a little straw and put it into the manger. And the idea is that the kids are like so excited to make little sacrifices in these seasons, the season of Advent, to make a bed for Jesus. Now, that's a wonderful thing for kids, you know, and they get all excited. Like my little daughter was so excited. She would go around the house and try to find places to sweep so she could add more straw. You know, this is wonderful. But that's for kids. But I think we need to think about it in an adult way, because what can I do this season to make my heart a manger? for Christ to come, you know? And that's where you let your couples group or your men's groups just start brainstorming themselves. And like, what are some things, like, what are some creative ways we can try to do this in our own lives, our own families? And, but I think if you just get people to start thinking about Advent this way and seeing that this is what it's really all about, I think they'll run off with their own love and creativity and come up with a lot of great ways to live the season.
Okay, Scott.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the call. Wait, go ahead, Scott. Did you have a follow up?
No, I just appreciate this. I'm so blessed to have this opportunity. It's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. I think Dr. Sri, I know you are a humble person, but many, many people feel that way about you. And because of all them, in many ways, you keep doing the same thing of inviting us to come closer to Christ. Scott, I'm going to say thank you again. And let's go to Maria in Houston, Texas, listening on Red Sea Radio. Maria, your question for Dr. Edward Sri.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call. I love your show. I can't get enough of it. My question is that why is one of the candles pink instead of purple also?
Oh, I love that question. So first of all, it's not pink. You go up to your priest and say, why are you wearing pink? He may feel a little not as comfortable with wearing pink, you know, but it's actually rose, technically. Now I know it looks like pink, so that's fine. But the church traditionally calls it rose, and the idea is it changes a different color on that third Sunday of Advent, because it's called Gaudete Sunday, which is Gaudete means rejoice. So you'll hear the readings have, particularly in the Old Testament, have this theme of rejoicing or getting, it's the prophets announcing the coming of the Savior is coming soon. And so we're getting close to Christmas now. We're less than 2 weeks away. And so the color changes because it's a little less penitential on that Sunday. And so it has the color of rose in order to kind of communicate, all right, we're getting, you know, we're past the halfway time. It's getting close to the coming of Jesus here. So we're rejoicing now.
Oh, great. Thank you. I didn't know why it was rose. Now I know it's rose. Okay. Cool. Thank you so much for your answer. That's wonderful.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you very much for the call. Delighted to hear from you from Red Sea Radio there down in Texas, doing great work down there. You are listening to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest this hour is Dr. Edward Sri. Just to give you a little more information on Dr. Sri, he does a podcast called All Things Catholic, and I'm sure if you just Google All Things Catholic or Dr. Sri, you'll find him. He has many books, including The Advent of Christ, which is the one we are talking about this hour. The Advent of Christ, and your calls welcome, although we're getting close here to the top of the hour. 888-318-7884 is the number. Anonymous caller in Indiana is next. Anonymous, your question for Dr. Sri.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. People put up their tree so early anymore, and I'm just kind of wondering when is the proper time to put up our trees.
Oh, thank you. I'm a fellow Hoosier, so hi to all my fellow Indiana folks out there, originally from there, live in Denver now. But let me, about the Christmas tree, this is a great question. You know, I'll tell you about the tradition, and then I'll tell you about, well, how do you live it out today? And I think every family, every person will kind of do it a little bit differently. But the tradition goes all the way back to the 1400s in Germany, where did a tree come from? Well, on December 24th, what they were doing was the Christians would remember Adam, and they remembered Adam and his sin, his fall at the tree, right? And so you have the idea of they would bring a tree into their home, and they would remember on December 24th the fall of the first Adam. But then on December 25th, they remember the coming of the new Adam, the birth of Jesus. So the tree originally actually was more associated with Adam than it was with Jesus. But then there were these miracles of these trees in the middle of winter all of a sudden bearing some fruit. And so it kind of really became very widespread. And then they started adding on the idea of candles. So on December 25th, they would put candles as lights on a wooden frame and hang that on the tree to show the idea that Jesus is the light of the world. And he's coming on the tree where Adam had fallen. Jesus is going to go to the new tree of life, the cross, eventually to save us. He's the light of the world, entering into Adam's darkness. But there was this whole connection there originally. But I want us to see that that early on the tradition was, no, the tree, and especially the lighting of the tree, was associated with the birth of Jesus. And so, you know, in traditional Catholic culture, you wouldn't be lighting Christmas trees on the first Sunday of Advent. It just didn't make sense. The light of the world hasn't come yet, you know. So now how do we apply that today? You know, in our own family, we've done this in many different ways. Like, we've done it where we don't even put up our tree until Christmas Eve. We've done that before. We've done it where, no, we put it up on the first Sunday of Advent, and then we don't necessarily decorate it. Maybe we use it like a Jesse tree. So we don't decorate it. We don't have lights on it. We put little symbols of the Old Testament prophets leading and patriarchs leading up to Christ. You know, we use it as a Jesse tree, and then when we get closer to Christmas, we fully decorate it, put lights on. And I'll be honest, there have been some seasons due to illness or travel we were going to have, we went and fully decorated it just because our kids were never going to get to see a decorated tree because of travel plans and things. So we've done that too. But I think it's important to remember, though, that the original tradition was to put it up later, and certainly at least lighting it later, like the idea of a fully lit tree. Christ has come. He's the light of the world. And so, you know, to delay that, I think, is a good thing. Maybe you say, you know, we won't light our tree till the beginning of those O antiphons I mentioned earlier in the show, December 17th, or maybe not till Gaudete Sunday, that third Sunday, the rose-colored Sunday. You know, maybe we just delay it a little bit later, or you might want to go hardcore and say, no, we're not going to light it until Christmas Eve. You know. So I would just say, again, I don't think we should be Christmas tree Nazis about this, but it is important for us as Catholics to know the tradition and to then think through, how can I truly live a Catholic Advent, even with regard to the tree. And if just the fact that we're starting to think about that and try to apply it is a great step forward from where many people are at today.
Anonymous, I hope that was helpful for you. Thank you very, very much for the call. Dr. Edward Sri, our guest. So you mentioned one child at home at the age of just pure wonder at the falling of the snow. And the fact that Christmas is coming, and another coming home for a visit from college. So you've had a long time of to build family traditions there with these. I believe it's 8 kids of yours, right?
Yep.
So any other, maybe of any kind, any other Advent suggestions for family, you know, possibilities for family traditions?
Yeah, we talked already about the Advent wreath. I think lighting that, everything, they love that, right? We talked about that. I mentioned that empty manger and the straw and encouraging little sacrifices for the little children. Another thing we've done is we've done what we call Advent angels, you know, where we assign one child to a certain sibling, and it's anonymous, and they kind of like are doing little kind deeds for them, maybe making their bed, making their lunch, giving them a little present throughout the Advent season. And, you know, and that's a great thing to kind of match up kids, and you can actually match up children that aren't getting along well. You know, that's a good thing to help them out. So we've done that before. You know, another thing we've done, you know, is, you know, really try to celebrate also like the big feast days in the season. You know, so coming up later this week, December 6th, is St. Nicholas Day. And it's a wonderful thing to try to, you know, celebrate that St. Nicholas was the great bishop who was traditionally known for being generous and serving the poor and leaving gifts for people. And so what our kids will do, they'll leave the shoes out by the fireplace. We have little stockings by the fireplace, and we celebrate that day, and we do candy on that day and all that, and, you know, to put little gifts in their shoe and in the stocking. So that's a great thing to do. You know, another thing we've done, this is a fun one. I, if you're looking for things with children, check out this book by one of my favorite authors. His name is Tommy DiPaolo. He's got a book called something like The Night of Las Posadas. And it tells the story of this tradition in New Mexico and other Hispanic communities where the children would go around dressed up as different characters in the Christmas story. And there'd be a Mary and a Joseph, and they go around the neighborhood to different houses. And now you have to do this. This worked awesome in our home. I lived in a home with my good friends at the Augustine Institute and other good Catholic families. We lived in a neighborhood, like, all really close to each other. And so we would go around and we would do this, where the children would go to one of the houses, and there would be the owner of the house. Let's say it was my house. They come to my house. I'm dressed up as an innkeeper, and the children say, okay, we want to we need a place to stay. My wife is going to have a baby, and I'm thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, another dad dresses up, and he comes out of a window, or he's on the roof, or he comes out of a bush, and he's dressed up as a devil. And he says, no, don't do that. You know, they don't have any money. Let them go. And all the children boo the devil. And then I say, no, I'm not going to let you in. And then they all boo. And then they go to another house, and then the same thing happens. And they go finally to the last house, and then the innkeeper lets them in. And then they have a big party there. So it's a fun little thing to do in the Advent season. And I know I just described it really quickly, but if you have kids, check out the book, go online, Tommy DiPaolo, The Night of Las Posadas. It'll walk you through the whole story. It's a great story even just to read to your kids in the Advent season. So these are just fun things we've done. We've also like listened to Advent music during the Advent season, you know, to really try to, there's a beautiful hymns, Advent hymns.
Right.
If you like Advent chant, you can listen to it. If you like contemporary music, like Matt Maher has an Advent album out. So, you know, lots of things you could listen to that brings the Advent spirit in. So you don't just have, you know, your station that's playing 24 hours, you know, Christmas music all day long, you know, that you can kind of like, well, let's try to live a little bit of Advent here as well. That's something else we've done throughout the years as well.
Dr. Edward Sree is the author of many books, including A Biblical Walk Through the Mass, Walking with Mary, and Who Am I to Judge? Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. You'll absolutely love his book, Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple. And of course, there's the book we've been talking about this hour, or that we take as our topic for this hour, The Advent of Christ. You can find out more about Dr. Edward Sree, well, you can visit his page over at the Augustine Institute, or you can go to All Things Catholic, Dr. Sree's podcast. Dr. Edward Sree, as always, a great pleasure. Thank you very, very much for doing this hour with us.
Oh, great to be with you as always. God bless.
A very blessed Advent. And we'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.